The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, fast-paced developments are part and parcel of the election season. This time it is no different. And with a quick update on the lie of the land is Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent. Fionnán, good morning.
Morning, Pat. And I suppose what's confirmed yesterday is no matter who gets into government, we're going to have a mini budget in the first 100 days. With Fine Gael, it'll be to adjust the VAT rate for the hospitality sector, stripping out the beds. So it'll be the breakfast, but not the bed. You'll get the lower VAT rate. Sinn Féin will be adjusting USC rates, and Fianna Fáil will be extending the lower VAT rate on electricity bills. So all three parties coming out with proposals there that basically will require legislation within the first 3 months of them being in government. That means a mini budget. That opens up all sorts of possibilities then about other aspects of the budget that has only just been passed last week being reopened. Leaves a lot of hostages to fortune in terms of the parties being lobbied. So, I mean, in terms of anybody offering anything that is kind of a stable economic outlook, you can trust us with the public finances. Not really. You'd have to say all three parties can't credibly say that when they're basically not even willing to stick with a budget that's only passed a week ago.
Now, everybody has plans to spend the Apple money.
Yeah, so the Apple money is by its nature a once-off. Everybody talking about, look, it needs to be spent in a way that A, is not a recurring expenditure, and B, something that will put something back into the country that is for the betterment of future generations. So, big ticket item this morning, the Green Party will come out and outline a series of public transport projects that they say the Apple money should be spent on, and that will include rail links and light rail links across a range of cities, from the metro in Dublin to light rail in other cities. And that, I suppose, is a good opening salvo on this one, because it basically just said we're looking at installing something here that is a legacy project. That is the kind of thing that will last for a long time. Yes, there will be a recurring cost, obviously, in terms of the operation of it. But we've got these projects already in place. And it will then also raise question marks about, will we be getting value for money for this 13, 14 billion when it's spent? Because we don't have a good track record on large scale project A in terms of delivery, and B in terms of delivery on budget. So that will very much frame that debate for all of the parties around, well, where and how exactly should the Apple money be spent?
Yeah. Now, the question of how they might spend it, you know, there's two ways of doing it. You can provide the infrastructure for, say, electricity and water, the utilities generally, that will allow then the builders to go gung-ho and start building houses and apartments. That's one way of doing it. Or you can kind of spend the money directly on some sort of state company to build houses with the Apple money. You know, both are actually required. So how will that be parsed?
Fierce. That's fierce, politically naive of you, Pat. A politician needs something tangible to say, look at this, I built this. You can't point to a power cable or a sewer and basically cut a ribbon on it. It should be the way that they are thinking, that basically you should be looking at this saying, right, the Apple money will actually underpin our development for the next decade or the next generation. But in reality, you end up with people basically wanting shiny new projects that they can point to and say, well, no, this is exactly what we will be spending this money on. And then fine, if that then means that frees up more of your normal, in inverted commas, capital budget for spending on your power cables and your sewerage, then so be it. Maybe that, you know, that there is an argument there. But I think the argument over the Apple money is going to be who can pitch a vision forward and basically saying, well, we're going to upgrade the water pipes in a particular area doesn't really have much showbiz attached to it.
Yeah, it gets maybe some local fella elected when everyone realises that their children might not be bathing in sewage-filled water, for example. But, you know, that's the way water should be clean.
Yeah, it should. And these should be the kind of projects that you look at and say, this is fundamental. We can't do anything else if we don't get these basics right. What's under the ground paves the way for building above the ground. But I think when it comes to the Hill Hunt, people do tend to look back upon their periods of government, and they point to legacy projects, be it buildings or motorways or rail lines, that they can actually tangibly envisage in people's minds, rather than fundamental basics, which tend to get lost.
So you look back on a children's hospital, white elephant, and a bicycle shed.
Yeah, you do basically. You look back on a motorway network. You don't look back on the fact that you had to you were restructuring the entire road network of the country. You basically end up saying, we built this motorway from point A to point B, therefore the people between point A and point B benefited, when in fact the nation as a whole benefited as a result of that. Providing housing in Dublin, it was a very interesting point made by Barry Cowan, the Fianna Fáil TD, when he was talking about NIMBYism in Dublin and objecting to housing in Dublin. And he said he made a very valid point. This is a national issue. It affects people down in Offaly as much as it affects people in Dublin, because people have to come and work and study in Dublin. And therefore, you would argue that if you were to turn around and go, look, we're just going to spend this money on infrastructure for building housing in Dublin, there would be an outcry across the rest of the country. But at the same time, you'd have to say, okay, but if that's where people have to end up going to, there is actually a knock-on effect here.
Now, do they think, any of them, that we really have the capacity to jack up the amount of building we do every year dramatically? I know the Taoiseach referred to people being freed up from a lack of office construction, that would free up people to build houses. I'm not sure that's a kind of a good thing to be saying, that offices are no longer going to be required, which suggests an economy that might be somewhat stagnant.
Yeah, and you'd have to say, I watched the 90 minutes of the housing debate last night. Everybody from, it was kind of the Dara O'Brien debate, really, with the five other housing spokespeople on with him. And on RT, and you'd have to say, kind of absent in that debate was discussion about capacity and supply. It was kind of looking at individual characteristics of the market and saying, well, what are we going to do here, and how will our particular policies help this person get a home? That's fine, but building the home in the first place seemed to be absent from the debate. And you know, you do have to question any party that is claiming whatever number of houses that they're claiming can be delivered over the course of the next 5 years or over the course of the next decade. Never mind, this is going to be sociable, this is going to be affordable, this will be cost rental, this will be private market. Okay, great. How are you building the house in the first place? Where is the unit coming from? Because we've just discussed the infrastructure problems, we just discussed the planning problems, but we've got big capacity problems in terms of the actual manpower and ability to build these houses in the first place. And you know, I know Mary Harney and the PDs were criticised 20 odd years ago, and there was a bit of backlash over it at the time. But at one point, they did end up going to Eastern Europe, government of the day, and saying, were there companies over there that could come to Ireland and build specific projects, because we didn't have the manpower in our country to do that. There's nobody kind of proposing anything radical like that. There's a lot of talk about targets. Government's targets between now and the end of the decade is 300,000. Opposition parties are slightly above that, not spectacularly above that. But even from the government perspective, you do have to ask, how exactly are you ramping up capacity that much?
Yeah.
Where you're almost talking about a doubling an increase of at least 2/3 over the course of 5 years. Where are demand? Where is
and the other problem, which no one's talking about, is the quality of what's being built in terms of who is it supposed to be housing. A lot of one bed and two bed units around the place, many of them simply for rent, not for sale. So when those people go on to have families, where in God's name are they going to live? They're not building houses too much anymore. They just want apartments with very little green space around them.
Yeah, it presupposes that there is a normal functioning market where people come in and the supply is there for the stage of life that they are at. So that if you go to a city to go to college, that there is student accommodation for you. You move on to another city for your first job. There is then a house share or an apartment available. You end up in a relationship. You move on to a starter home, and then you have kids, and there is a three bed semi D available for you somewhere. And I suppose the legacy probably of the Celtic Tiger era and the current shortages in the market is that people aren't convinced really that if they take out a mortgage that they are going to be able to flip it and move on to a further home.
And so of course it brings us automatically to that growing family and childcare, and the counter bids on childcare. Not much difference really in the proposals.
No, and you'd have to say there in terms of the creation of another level of education within the system, still very heavily dependent upon the private market delivering with subsidies from government end. So largely speaking, the bidding war that's on out there seems to be about the cost. And again, you have to look at the supply and the provision of childcare. Not enough attention being paid to that. Nobody, for example, is coming out and saying, you know, something absolutely dramatically radical like, we're going to nationalise every creche and ECHI facility in the country. They're all going to come in under the state. The Department of Education or the Department of Childcare is going to be in charge of it, and that's it. We're not coming from that perspective. We're kind of tinkering around the edges, saying, you know, the childcare, we'll get it down to a tenner a week, we'll get it down to 200 quid a month, and so on. So as a result, I think the more that each party is putting out their different proposals, there's nothing really grabbing the attention there that you'd say, okay, well, that's an absolute radical.
Our childcare approach is a bit like our approach to housing with HAP. You know, throw subsidies at people. And, you know, what does that do to those who provide childcare? Does it simply allow them to take loads of state money, in effect, because of the unaffordability of doing it totally privately? You know, people can't afford to do it privately. So it is the HAP model.
Yeah, and if you want supply and you want standards, then you're going to have to attach a level of state intervention to that market anyway. And there does seem to be that absence of, you know, beyond the bidding war of over the next 5 years, this is what we're going to do. Okay, but where's the Don O'Malley moment here? Where is the politician standing up and going, this is where I see childcare being in a generation's time? This is what I want to have in place. And these are the first very basic stepping stones we're going to take down along that route. A lot of the state intervention that you've seen over the course of the last decade has very often been kind of haphazard and good at the end of it. So you have free books, free school meals, free GP care for children. But it's all done so incrementally. And because of budgetary constraints, individual ministers or individual parties are kind of afraid to set out a vision and say, this is where I want to ultimately see us go. They don't want to make those commitments because then people come at them at the end of that electoral cycle and say, you said this was going to happen and now it hasn't happened within that time frame. Sometimes you do need to come out and say, this isn't going to happen over the next 3 to 4 years or even 5 years. But in 20 years' time, this is the direction I think we should be going. And then you try and win people over in that regard.
Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.